So appropriate that the stage is cleared here for Tiger. Can he do it again? Well, this would be another great example of why Tiger is Tiger.
Like it lasted us like at least 3 or 4 meals, at least 3 or 4 meals, maybe even more. And it was like, I think I spent like $200 or like $220 or something like that.
Dude, barbecue, we're recording it. Barbecue is so fucking expensive. And then you multiply it with like the California upcharge of everything, you know, like even I remember when we went to Terry Black's, you get like, you know, one main meat and then like two sides or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I got, obviously got brisket. Like that's the fucking go-to for me. And then like two sides, whatever. And it was definitely almost like $40.
I was about to say.
Just for me.
It was like, I was about to say, it's
at least $35.
It's at least 35. And then if you want a second protein, it's like 55 or 50.
But yeah, you got to go with someone else who you can split, each get a protein or do like a half pound of each or something. But
yeah. Yeah, because everything is always like by the pound or half pound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good old BBQ. Yeah, snuggle up with your boy here. Come on.
Just the two of us this week.
Just the two of us. You could make it if you try. Ooh, they're making some scampies too. We're watching some random barbecue competition show that's on Amazon Prime. I don't know what the name of the show is because I didn't pick it.
But yeah, we're just talking about how California barbecue, first off, what even is that? And there's no way it's that good, first off.
The first episode of this competition is every group or group of competitors has to do a take on Santa Maria, California style barbecue, which I had never heard of until today.
No.
I have not heard of. Yeah, I didn't know California was that into barbecue.
It's not.
Oh, Barbecue Brawl is the name of the show, for the listeners that are wondering.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Anyways, just the two of us, huh? How's it going, man?
Chilling.
Chilling? Big chilling? Did you grind Rivals this weekend?
Yeah. A
little bit?
Me and Max usually play on weekends, yeah.
That's good. Did you... You at plat?
Holy
one
shit,
now?
Bro! So we're plat. We have been on the platinum up and down.
Oh yeah, just elo
just platinum plus one, minus one, plus one. Just so fucking bad, dude. Honestly, it can take one bad teammate to just throw your fucking game.
Yeah, like,
and it sucks because you know we're plat. You know, let's say we're plat two most of the day. Like, just lose two, win one, lose one, win two more, like, you know, just basically dicking around.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to assume that everyone you're paired up with is of a similar skill level. I mean, at least competitively, they
sure
fall into your category, and just some of them are just getting their fucking ass kicked, just throwing our game, dude.
No.
Sucks.
Oh, man. I don't know. I wish that these video game publishers would kind of create a better rank system, because I feel like the rank system is always just... chalked.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's most tilting is like when you get teammates that are playing roles and just throwing that they don't normally play or something like that. So yeah, it's like you almost wish that you could like force them to be in a certain role, or like you have them queue into like, oh, duelist role or like the healer role, and then you have two flexes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two flexes could, you know, bounce if whatever. I mean, the game requires you to have an additional duelist or an additional healer that they could flex, but I don't know.
I mean, luckily Max and I are both really flexible. Like, usually I'll try and see if someone wants to heal first. Because if someone's coming in there, you know, hopping on a heal, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that fucking goes until I got to hop in and be a third healer or something. But which is fine. It depends how the game's going, you know, like halfway through. But luckily, you know, I can DPS and I can heal. And Max can definitely tank and definitely heal.
Is he a Penny one trick still? Or has he got a little bit of Magneto in him now?
I don't think he plays Magneto.
Really?
I think Penny got a buff, too. Ooh. Penny and Rocket have a team up now where she gets two nests.
Okay.
So if he plays that, I'll go play Rocket.
Nice.
But if someone's hopping on that, then I'll play Punisher.
Punny?
For the DPS, yeah.
Little punny action? Yeah. Little rope up to high ground, pop the turret?
Dude, for me, whenever I play Punisher, I feel like I'm like trying really hard. I have to like... It feels like work, dude. Like, I'm like locked in the whole time. End up... Dude, there's games where I'll put up like for sure the most damage in the team. And I'll get like six knockouts. Like, we're just feeding the other team support ults the whole time because we're not getting any like knockouts. You know those where you're just constant stream of damage?
Yeah.
But you're never able to like knock, you know, finish somebody. That sucks.
I would imagine like the higher elo you go, the more important the DPS role is.
To really knock people. Well, that's the whole goal. You got to fucking knock people out so that they're down a man and they have to back up, you know?
Yeah.
So you can gain ground.
Do you watch any competitive rivals?
No. Every once in a while on YouTube, I'll watch like some competitive gameplay. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. I mean, I'm always a fan of the competitive, and I was watching a lot before, and like I've kind of sprinkled in watching some recently, but dude, competitive rivals at the highest level is overwhelming. It is a lot.
In what way?
Well, I think what confuses me about rivals now is that because there's so many heroes and there's so many changes,
it does move fast.
It's very, very quick with the changes and the meta on the maps. Even the maps, like, it changes what heroes are more viable than others, and you're just like, oh my god, it's hard to keep up sometimes with like what's effective and what's going on. In the beginning, when I felt like I had a better understanding of like every hero's kit, I was more interested. But wow, I mean, yeah, it's a whole different ball game at that top tier level for sure.
I mean, I think you could definitely pick up where you left off pretty easily. Like, just I have to ask Max all the time, like, oh, what's, you know, we'll queue into a game and then like I'll be the last to pick a role or something, and I'm like, yo, like, what? Or let's say I'll pick, you know, Cloak or something. I'm like, is there any other team up we could be using right now to try and like... Because right now it's... I think it's Strange and Scarlet Witch are just ridiculous together.
Oh, really?
Scarlet Witch's like damage output is crazy. She has this crazy team up. So like, if we ever have a Strange, then one of us should hop on Scarlet Witch.
The team up's that good now, huh?
But yeah, I'm always... Because it does feel like it changes quickly. So I'm like, yo, what should we do?
Damn.
But yeah, we're in purgatory for sure.
You're in elo hell. That's what they call it. Elo hell is when you just like can't get good lobbies. You're constantly just like win one, lose two, win. We don't.
Fuck, it already stopped recording.
No, right? He gets the new cord and everything.
Well, fuck it. We're picking it up right here.
All right.
Yeah, well, I got the new USB. Had to chop off like 10 minutes last episode.
Yeah, that sucked. That was a good pod last week, too.
Sydney Sweeney's Bathwater. What do you think of my title on that one?
I mean, that's just a great title. It's just a fantastic title. Whatever gets the clicks, am I right?
Dude, I'm just all about looking at the trends of the last like 24 hours and I try and capitalize.
You've been on socials recently? I mean, goodness gracious. It's like, it's just, I feel like it's just crazy all the time now. There's always something that's going on in this world that's just, when the algorithm catches it, it's like all anybody talks about, and then everybody talks, and like all the influencers talk about what everyone else is talking about, and that just like heightens it up even more, and then everyone has to have an opinion or a take about what's popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like right now that's the riots in LA or the ICE raids or anything, and I'm like, oh man, like I really couldn't care less about this. Like, I actually don't have any opinion about it whatsoever. I don't. And then on my Twitter feed, it's just like these politicians just fucking going back and forth. And I'm like, I could literally care less about what these multimillionaire politicians are doing or not doing. Like, they all suck.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you'll get vilified if you don't pick a side, though, either. You know what I mean? Like,
kind of, yeah.
You just play neutral. But yeah, I mean, social media is giving everyone a voice, and not everyone needs to have a voice, frankly. You know what I mean? Keep it a buck. Like, yeah. Probably don't need all that.
Oh, and the other thing that caught my attention was, do you know who Riley Gaines is?
A swimmer, right?
She's the swimmer.
I just read about her like yesterday.
Oh, really? So, yeah, no, she's the swimmer who was a D1 swimmer athlete, and she like Well, she and like all the other competitors in this race lost to this whatever this, I don't even know what you call it, this transitioner,
mm-hmm.
some guy who transitioned to a girl.
Oh, Leah
Thomas.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I definitely heard about Leah Thomas. I didn't know that.
So
that Riley Gaines was like a competitor.
So
like,
yeah, a, I mean, just like some background so you have a better understanding. So Riley Gaines was one of the competitors, and she like lost this D1 title to this, you know, this person who transitioned, mm-hmm. and it was like this whole thing in the sports world, right?
Yeah.
But Riley Gaines very quickly like became an author, and you know, it's turned into really like a political advocate for, you know, keeping people that have transitioned from men to women out of women's sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like her whole thing. That's like, this is why she's popular now. This is why she tours the world or tries to get support for whatever her causes are. And she's become just like wildly popular, but she recently had a beef with Simone Biles, which I thought was just so crazy.
That sounds funny.
So
yeah,
like basically like,
is she like a sweet person, Simone Biles? I assume
she's like this, you know,
I could be wrong,
5'2", 5'1".
She's America's hero, dude. She's like the winningest gymnastic person of all time, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly, yeah. I mean,
legend.
She's done so much for women's gymnastics. Is like an elite athlete in her own right, like super impressive. But
I can't act like I'm watching, but I respect her grind.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never seen the documentary on Netflix, it's actually pretty interesting. I mean, where they kind of dive into the sport of gymnastics and like her journey, and how in gymnastics, what they do is anytime there's like innovation where somebody does like a new trick or new, yeah. I don't know what you call it, a stunt, mm-hmm. where they're the first person to do it, they get the stunt becomes named after them.
That's a big deal, huh?
And it's a very, very big deal. And she has like three stunts named after her.
What are they, the Biles 1, 2, and 3 or what?
Yeah, no, seriously.
Are they actually?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. So like she basically like transformed the whole gymnastics because nobody could do this stuff before her. And now she did it. And then now I think, I don't know. I'm sure that like at the very, very top, maybe some of them can do some of these tricks or whatever.
Give it 10 years, all little kids are going to be doing this kind of shit.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But
it's like the McTwist or whatever.
Anyways, so Riley was, she had posted something where, of course, she's just trying to garner interest in her causes. So she's always posting about like, oh, like, look what happened in this little league division where some, you know, trans guy was competing in women's sport. It's mm-hmm. one of these situations where she posted about something, she like made a comment about the kid who was on the team that won the championship.
Sorry, we're talking about Riley made a statement.
Yes,
okay. Uh-huh.
So but she was talking, she like added Simone Biles, and I forgot why. I don't exactly remember, but
like name dropped her.
Yeah, she added her in this tweet.
Yeah.
And then Simone got fucking pissed, mm-hmm. and she was like, "You should pick on somebody your own size, or maybe that's another guy." and then that sparked this whole outrage or this whole other like debate of like, "Oh wow, like, you know," because then you get all the comments from everybody analyzing every detail of like this interaction, right? And it's interesting because another thing that happened with Simone Biles was the whole thing with Larry Nassar. Does that name ring a bell?
Unfortunately, yes, it does.
So yeah, like
the most evil guy.
So like, so like people are saying like, oh, like, so when you speak up about like, you know, being taken advantage of and like, you know, the guy taking advantage of you, like this is also happening in like a different way to these other individuals. But like, but here you are making fun of, you know, because everyone makes fun of this Riley girl because they're like, oh, you got like fifth place, like why don't you stop being a sore loser about it? But then she, you know, obviously her whole point is that like, dude, like what do you mean I lost to a guy essentially?
Yeah.
But anyways, it was a very in the Twitterverse, it was a very hot topic. So anyways, my timeline has been flooded with that, those two topics, and now it's like you got to decompress from the algorithm a little bit. You're like, ah, this is not interesting anymore. I can't keep scrolling on this because the more I scroll into it, the more it sends me the more of the same shit. Can't do
it. Yeah. Part of me, yeah, feels conflicted of like, it definitely just feels, part of me like think it's definitely overwhelming as far as like how loud these people are. And it used to not be like this, you know, not everyone was vomiting all over Twitter, you know.
Yeah.
And part of me definitely realized like this can't be good for you. Like being a passive reader or whatever and getting enjoyment is a different story than being like someone who's actively engaged and like seeking out this information daily. I don't know. It can't be healthy.
Well, I think what I find interesting about it is because it changes public discourse to a degree, because there's two types of people that you just touched on. There's the people probably like you or me are more aligned with, like, dude, like, I am not posting anything on social, like, literally.
Definitely not making a hot take.
I'm definitely not posting anything. Like, if anybody's ever seen my IG, like, I don't post anything. Like, that's just not who I am.
Stop being a lurker.
I've never enjoyed it, so I don't do it. I don't find it interesting to post things about me or whatever. And same thing with Twitter. Like, I'm not making statements on Twitter. Like, I don't have a follow. I don't. I'm not interested in it. But like, I do enjoy, like, finding little news bits of information or like what's going on. And it's like a lurker. I'm a lurker. Yeah. Right. But then
a lot of people are.
There's the people who are influencers or people who have following, and like anything over like 5,000 people, they have a following. You know, people are following them because maybe they like their takes or they're interested in the products or services they may offer. But anyways, their whole goal is to try and garner more followers and get them more interested in their page so that they can boost whatever it is that they're trying to promote, whether that's a fucking book or fucking support for their politics, like a politician. Like, they have an incentive to have opinions and talk about what's trending or what's popular, because if that's what everyone's interested in, they're trying to wager that and grow their audience, right? So that's why I get it from their perspective. Like, even if they're not in the realm of that, whatever is trending. So for the instance, like the LA riots, like, maybe it's just like a restaurateur or like a poker player or like something that has nothing to do with it, but they'll still talk about it because that's what's trending and they're trying to grow their following. I get that, even though it's unnecessary. I get it. Like, it makes sense. I totally understand. Mm-hmm. But what I find interesting about it is because then whatever dialogue is happening there, it shapes the public discourse for people like you and I, because even though we don't have like a take about it publicly, it shapes the opinion that we might have on the topic. So it's like, oh, what voice is louder? And then you realize is that, oh yeah, there's like this one group of people that might not be outspoken about it, but they definitely align more with one side of the edge more than the other side. So that's what I find interesting about it. It's like everyone has these hidden beliefs now, and nobody talks about it.
I mean, the one thing I would want to touch on there is I don't know if it's actually changing public discourse. It's changing, like, when you read it on your phone, maybe, you know, you talk about it to a friend, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think that these are very loud voices, most of them, if that makes sense. Like, the majority of people are lurkers, I would say, like, not actively engaged with a lot of this stuff, though. So to be fair, I think these are what you're seeing a lot of the time. And they're awfully polarizing, too. A lot of it is like, and ever since, you know, like the Trump era, everything is even more politically divided between left and right. So now it could be something about sports or whatever, and it becomes even another place where people can split between Democrats and Republicans and stuff. It's fatiguing, honestly.
It sure is. It sure is. Whew. Very interesting world that we live in now, where everyone has a voice and not everyone needs one.
Think about like in the 50s, like four people had a voice.
Yeah. Crazy. So crazy.
That got me thinking about Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster, what did they do?
They're just the worst company of all
time. They're just the worst. Dude, all of those companies suck. Yeah, they're all Live just Nation. Scam artists. Like,
they're all fucking assholes, dude.
What is it, StubHub, Ticketmaster? Like, dude, and all of those are like publicly traded companies, and they all do so fucking well. How did an industry like that just totally take over? Like, not only do they fuck over the performers, but they fuck over the consumers twice as hard. It's like,
well, I know exactly. I know partially why they became so successful is monopolization. So a lot of, like, you know, the big ones are like Live Nation and Ticketmaster. A lot of them signed exclusive deals with like SoFi or name your medium theater to large venue. So okay. like now if that building wants to sell tickets, you know, Taylor Swift is like, I'm coming to LA, and then SoFi is like, okay, we'll schedule it this day and we'll put out tickets. Those tickets have to be sold through Ticketmaster. So that has a monopolization of like, and then now I find out that the like Live Nation owns venues also.
Really?
That doesn't seem legal to me. Like, it seems fucked.
They own venues.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's just part of like vertical integration, I guess. But doesn't it seem like
yeah.
antitrust violations? Like, call me crazy. This is
I don't know.
Up.
Is it, though? Because I think what's interesting about it is that I'm sure that they've prioritized like these, like you said, these medium to larger venue sites. So now it's like, if you're a popular artist who's trying to satisfy a large following of fans, but then everything is owned by the same company, it's like you kind of have no choice. But also nothing stopping you from like hosting your own shows at like a smaller place that isn't owned by like a large
an independent one,
but then you'll never satisfy your constituents fans. Or like your fans, because then nobody will be able to get a ticket because you only have a thousand tickets or whatever, maybe a couple hundred. It's like,
well, yeah, I mean the big example is usually Taylor Swift, of like how bad her Ticketmaster launch was and stuff like that. Like, yeah, the demand of these tickets was fucking astronomical.
Yeah.
And of course, scalpers are another problem that we have, of like, whether it's sneakers or Pokemon cards or ticket sales, like, they fuck everybody, basically.
They sure do.
They fuck everyone. Okay. But it's even been discovered that, like, either one of those companies, one of them was selling its tickets to itself so that it could resell them at the upcharge value.
Really?
For example, Taylor Swift, like, as soon as all the tickets are gone, like, now you got to pay, you know, a premium markup. And so they would purposely, like, hoard parts of... It's like in The Wolf of Wall Street, where they hold on to Steve Madden shares.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like the same fucking thing.
Crazy.
Ah, I can't stand that.
Greed, man. Greed.
But then, like you said, like, they're... Live Nation is a part of like Liberty Media Group, which is on like the NASDAQ and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. And then they own Formula One and MotoGP, I think.
No
they
way.
They used to own the Atlanta Braves. I don't know why they sold it, but I don't know how this shit isn't... I don't know, man.
Crazy.
It bums me out sometimes.
That's so crazy.
Dude, Ivan and I honestly had a really long like text back and forth about... Luigi Mangione, about his... Those memes are great, though.
That's all I could think about just now, is the memes.
Is there a Mrs. Mangione, or is there a Mrs.... Yeah, those are funny. Or, yeah, he was with me on this morning. Yeah.
What was the conversation about?
Just about, like, privatized healthcare, basically, and how terrible... Whether you don't believe in, like, the free market... version of it, or like, you know, the socialist angle of it, like, I feel like we're all just getting fucked.
Yeah,
in every level of like, whether it's medication or care or
well, it's all of
insurance. You're all fucked.
Well, because yeah, I mean, it's the whole like, it kind of falls into like the Illuminati bucket of industries that are the most corrupted because of yeah. like how it affects world power, right? It's healthcare. It's military, it's media, it's...
Which is influence, you know?
It's government the most, and I think there's like, and I think there's one or two more. I think a fifth one would be like...
Maybe communications or something?
Well, it would be like entertainment, or yeah. like what's, you know, popular, whether it's movies,
which
TV shows.
Which is part of the media, as you
which,
said, though.
But. Yeah. And, gosh, there might be one more, but... But yeah, like essentially, if you control all of those industries, like you basically have the puppet strings to the entire nation or world or whatever you're trying to control, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? But oh my God, two things that I need to touch on with the Luigi Mangione thing.
Let's hear it.
Is did you hear that? Like, oh man, it was one of those healthcare CEOs got convicted of like a huge fraud.
Really?
Yeah. It was a Medicare fraud, and it was like he got charged.
Fuck him.
Well, like, dude, please look this up while I'm talking about this. I'm dead serious, and I don't know if it was the United Health CEO, but it was like it might have been a different CEO, but he literally got caught or involved in fraud, and he got charged with like $1 billion fraud because
his
he was
power mobility doctor or something like that.
Where I think
he's
it was
80
like
years old.
$1 billion fraud thing or something like that, and I was like, oh my god, like. Are you kidding me? Like, oh, it's just so wrong at every layer of that. It's just so wrong.
And I hate it because it's disguised as this, like, we want to help people. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, they're just fucking you from the left and gouging you from the right. And it's like, have you ever seen the movie or the show? It's a show with Michael Keaton, and he's a doctor issuing like Percocets.
Mm-mm.
It's excellent, absolutely excellent. But it goes into the story of like how, you know, Purdue Pharma created, like, they launched these pain medicines, you know, pain management pills, under the premise of like, oh, these are non-habit forming, like, and then, even though it's an opioid, which any doctor in the last 200 or 300 years will tell you, like, no, that is absolutely addictive. But the point is, they would show like these graphs that they made up, and the salesmen would go to doctors. Why do we have salesmen going to doctors, selling them, like telling them that, hey, you should push our medicine. You know, we'll give you a kickback. You know, if you reach this quota of prescribed, you know, units or whatever, we'll cut you a check. It's like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Crazy.
We're also the only country in the world that advertises medicine on TV.
That's crazy.
Like, not ibuprofen and like nasal spray, like medicine.
Yeah,
that people go to their doctor, and I get it, because you're like, wait, I might have that, and then you go to the doctor and you're like, I want this, and then they're just like, okay,
so
it's all fucked, dude.
So I mean, I this other thing that I wanted to touch on was I recently went to the dermatologist for some skin stuff, and I got like a couple of like these creams, right? And I picked up my first
cream of some young guy.
Yeah. So exactly. So I went and I picked up my first thing, and it was like very cheap. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, thank God I have this insurance and all of this stuff. And then I get another notification that I have another prescription there. And I was like, oh, like, I do remember that there was supposed to be like another thing that my, you know, my dermatologist said.
Okay.
And then so I'm like, oh, like, I'm going to go pick it up. But then like it'd been a few days, I hadn't picked it up yet. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, I'm going to see if I can just get it delivered. So I go on the CVS, like, whatever, the link they send me. And I'm like, oh, let's see about delivering this thing. And I go to the webpage, and it says that this medication that I'm supposed to get is $1,446.10.
Out of pocket?
Like, out of pocket. And I was like...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll be right
like,
there.
I was in my head. I'm like, on what fucking planet do you think that I'm gonna pay you $1,000 for? Because it's like a fucking cream. Like, it's not like some world renowned, you know.
Was it made of sea biscuit jizz?
Not,
like, what are we talking about?
It's not to cure cancer. Like, it's for like fucking like a minor skin thing. And I was like, why the fuck? Like, who the fuck is one? Who the fuck is paying that? Two,
insurance.
Like. Why, like, somebody is getting shafted here, like, in some way, shape, or form.
Well,
like,
it would be you had you decided to buy it.
The insurance company was either getting shafted. Like, how does this medication cost this much? There's no way it costs this much. How do they come up with this price of $1,400-some? It makes no fucking sense. Like, how is this even a thing? How is this possible? Because it's, like, clearly taking advantage of somebody. You can't just fucking create your own price for, like...
They come up with this price based on like how much they can gouge insurance. So like, let's say that they prescribe that medicine. Maybe if some people have a different insurance than you, and that company charges the insurance $1,000, but you know the customer ends up paying like 20.
Yeah.
So the insurance company gets fucked, which again falls on you at the end of the month when you got to pay your premium or whatever. The whole thing's fucking fucked.
It's so fucked.
It's fucked. We're also the only first world country without privatized health or without public health care. And I can't say that I am like absolving that completely, that public health care would be perfectly effective and great, but it just seems so crazy that the system we have now, this is awful. It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's
it's so bad.
It's embarrassingly bad.
Very bad. And like that guy Brian, the guy who got murdered or whatever, he's elected CEO based on his ability to, you know, cut expenses basically. And how do those companies cut expenses? They reject claims basically.
Yeah.
So they're making profit. They're not changing their revenue, but they're cutting expenses, which increases their profit, which increases shareholder wealth. They're on the S&P 500, United Healthcare.
Yeah.
So like your retirement is tied to the success of this privatized healthcare company.
Yeah.
That's awful.
To a degree, that is true.
Indirectly, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Most people are somewhat invested in the S&P 500.
Oh, the other industry is finance, the control of the money supply, and just the control of money in general.
Like the Fed control, you're saying? Or like,
yeah, like, yeah, exactly. I mean, like the Federal Reserve.
They're
like,
a part of the Treasury, though.
But yeah, in a way, just like being able to control the money supply, and that way you can always control the lower to middle class, essentially.
Mm. I always thought that, monetary policy and fiscal policy were meant to, like, usually just to control inflation. You know what I mean? But feel free to put me on game about.
Well, I think what I was trying to highlight there is that those are the industries with the most corruption.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're most likely to deviate from public good.
Yeah, which. Damn it. I had a paper. I was looking into this last week about from the Treasury. They put out a report because I had this thought last week. How much money do you think floating around in the United States is counterfeit? Just a thought. Just a thought that popped into my head.
How much do I think is counterfeit? Oh, man. I don't think it would be that much.
They can only guess.
I mean, I would say it's in the tens of millions. It's tough, though, because I don't know.
Money has moved in and out of the United States, though, so that's another difficult thing is managing.
Yeah.
Tons of money moves.
By counterfeit, you basically mean fake dollars in the money supply that hold no value.
Like paper money that's printed that the Treasury didn't put out, basically.
Gotcha. You know what I mean? Yes.
Not like fake bank account, which I've heard that's a real thing, too, of like, who's holding these banks accountable for every dollar for a loan that they generate? Are these backed up by actual dollars, or are they, like, what was the GameStop thing?
I think it was like 10% or something like that they have to have or something.
No, not that part, like, but not that part specifically. But yeah, there's a percentage they have to have on hand. What was it called? Naked puts. That's what it's called.
Naked puts.
Like it's a put option where you don't, you believe so much that it's going to go down that you don't actually own the stock. Like,
yeah.
So in which case, Citadel, where everyone, bought a bunch of GameStop and it actually went up, they were forced to buy the stock at a really high price and they got fucked basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the idea that, I don't know. Counterfeit. Sorry, hold on. They intercept a lot of it every year. I was surprised. Sorry. Hopefully this is recording correctly.
I'm sure it is.
Out of approximately $2.3 trillion, right? So not bills.
Uh-huh.
Dollars.
The T.
$102 million was counterfeit.
Okay.
Yeah. What percent of that?
That was pretty close. I mean, tens of millions. Like, I don't know what I would have guessed in between 10 and 90.
Trillion. That's a million. That's a billion. Damn.
That's a lot of zeros, brother.
That's one more. Trillion, right? Whoops, I did that backwards. Damn. It's hard to imagine that. 100 million, right?
I think you just got to count the zeros, so it would be...
Hold on. So that's million, $10 million, $100 million. I forgot. Billion. 2.3 billion. 20 billion. Shit, that's too far. Back up one. Okay. Times 100. 4.34% of dollars. Doesn't mean bills, but pretty crazy, huh?
Damn. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also weird when you realize that we're not backed by anything anymore. You know, like the gold standard isn't...
Well, like, this is what fucking Elon Musk fucking bitches about all the time. He's just like, dude, like, these politicians, like, they just, like, keep printing money and they just, like, keep blowing up the deficits. Like, eventually, like, something really, really bad's gonna happen.
Well, isn't that why we have so much national debt is, like, issuing all these bonds? We're basically taking $95 now so that in 10 years we can pay 100, but it means that we can do stuff with that money right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that whatever figure of $15 trillion in debt, or I forgot even what it was, but that's literally just like loans to citizens that we will have to pay off eventually.
It's a bad system.
We just keep pushing the can down the road as it's
we sure
it
do.
Down the American way. That guy's 80 years old, power mobility doctor. Oh, yeah, that's another thing, is that all the shitty, like, clinics that do fuck over the Medicare system, you know what I mean? Like, take advantage by filing all these false claims and stuff. They're fucking it from a different direction, but fucking us all.
Yeah.
Sucks, dude.
Here I am, just a humble shrimp salesman, just trying to make a decent living, support my family. I gotta deal with all these corrupt people stealing the bag, fucking over the general citizens.
That's good taxpayers.
How's the groomsman chat coming along?
Are you not in it? I would assume you're not in it.
I'm not in it. I'm not supposed to know anything. I was just asking you.
You're not supposed to know nothing?
I don't think so.
I was meaning to ask you about one thing, but...
Oh, really?
Wouldn't be on air. There are things, though, that I don't know if I would like... Not saying there are things, but potentially there could be things going on behind my back that I would want to know about, hypothetically. Okay. Or have an input about. Nothing bad.
I see.
So maybe I'll ask you later, but it's not exactly a spoiler.
Yeah, no, the reason why I asked is because this, something came up at, we went over to Mia's brother's house.
Mint?
Dan.
Dan.
I don't even know if he goes by Min or...
Well, no, I got Min in the group chat. That's the only reason I said it. Is that a spoiler?
I don't know. No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Anyways, we went over to his house to celebrate his wife's birthday. And we were all making fun of him because he said that, like, he was telling us a story about how he introduced himself in the group chat, was that he's Blake's brother-in-law. And the reason why he said that was because he didn't know if everybody knew Mia. So he didn't want to say Mia's sister.
Oh.
So we were laughing at him like...
I didn't even think of that.
You fucking dodo. Like, of course they know who Mia is. Like, they know who Mia is. Like, you can just say Mia's sister. Like, Blake's brother-in-law. Like,
he's just trying to put it in the perspective of, like, everyone here knows Blake. So
yeah,
here's
exactly.
How I know him. I get where he's coming from.
Which is funny because it's not even technically true yet.
No. Nah.
But everyone knows.
No one said a damn thing. It's fine. We figured it out.
Yeah.
It's Mia's brother.
Blake's brother-in-law.
So that's Dave?
His name is Dan.
Dan.
Yeah, he's called him Dan.
Okay.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
But then he just, I don't know. He was being funny. He looks like, it made me really excited because he looks like he was really excited. Or like he was like very joyful about things that were happening, and it made me excited. I was like,
oh. We haven't really done anything. So, okay, that's good. Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm sure you can kind of guess what
may
happen or may not happen.
Well, I basically told John, I kind of gave him the lowdown. I was like, hey,
mm-hmm.
These are things that I really want to do. Please make it happen. And then I was like, all the other details, like, I kind of don't care that much about. But like, as long as you do these couple things, then we're going to be in a good territory. So I'm sure it'll all be fine.
No, it's going to be a good time.
We love that. We love a good time. smoke that shit.
I don't see why not. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Rob's in Lake Tahoe, by the way.
Lake Tahoe?
Sprung that on us, yeah.
Dude, I love Lake Tahoe.
Never been.
Lake Tahoe's dope in the winter or the summer. That's what's cool about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, the thing about Lake Tahoe is that it's a really, really long drive, but it's also a really, really short flight. Mm. But both of them are both kind of annoying, because if you drive, it's just a long time in the car. I mean, we're talking 8 hours in the car.
Yeah.
And then the problem,
it's gorgeous.
It is. It is
beautiful.
And so, but the thing is, if you fly into Reno, and then either you rent a car or you have to take a shuttle. And the shuttle is like 45 minutes to an hour
to
get there.
That's not that bad. That's not bad.
Okay, yeah, you say that, but it's still, you still have to fly and then shuttle. And it's like, whatever, it's like two and a half, three hours. And then again, the problem is that when you really add it up, it's like you don't even save that much time by flying.
Oh, as far as like net time. Yeah, sure.
You don't even save that much time, but it's like, it's kind of annoying. Obviously, the move is if you rent a car at the airport, it's fine, but then also then you have to pay for a car and it's fucking outrageously expensive. And then you're like, I could have just fucking drove my own, but it's like just to save like 4 hours, 5 hours, you're like, ah. The way that I did it previously was for Mark's bachelor party. We, me, Nate, and Mark, we went up to Mammoth a day or two before. So it was only 6 hours or whatever, 5.5, 6 hours to get to Mammoth.
And then, bored?
Well, no. This was summertime.
Oh, okay.
So they went to... Because I don't know if you know this, but Mammoth is like turns into a mountain bike trail like okay. in the summertime. So they drove to the mountain bike trail, and then I dropped them off, and then I took the car and I went golfing.
Nice.
So we did that, and then from Mammoth to Tahoe is only like 2 or 2.5.
Okay.
So we broke it up like that, and it made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden,
2 hours doesn't seem so bad after that.
Like. Yeah. So then it's like you had like a long drive, but then you got to have a lot of fun, and then like you have like whatever, you do dinner, you spend one night at an Airbnb, not too bad, and then it's like 2 hours and you're like at the bachelor party, and it's fucking, yeah, that was the move for sure.
Sounds like, can you ride a bicycle?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ride a bicycle?
I'm just messing with you. Did you know, okay, pop quiz, did you know, I guess that's not a quiz, how you start a quiz question. Did you know Lake Tahoe is man-made?
Lake Tahoe is man-made? Did not know that.
Nah, I just made that up.
What are we doing?
Can you guess the depth of Lake Tahoe?
The depth?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, in the deepest part, you're saying?
Yeah.
I would be shocked if it's more than 100. I would say probably even less.
1,645 feet deep.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not kidding. That's what it says.
That's outrageous how deep that is.
It is second deepest in the United States, even deeper than like the Great Lakes.
1,600 feet?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, to be fair, the lake, you know, level is at 6,200 feet elevation, so... There's a lot of room upwards and downwards there for what
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because it's already up in a mountain. There's,
exactly.
Yeah.
But it's so high up, and then you have like 1,600 feet of water. That's a lot of water.
That is a lot. A lot. That was way more than I thought.
Because
even 100 feet, I feel like, is a lot.
1,600 is hard to... You can't even comprehend that.
Yeah.
Average depth is 1,000, but yeah, the max depth is 1,600.
Is it really? Oh, damn. that kind of... Dude, that's kind of spooky.
Creepy, huh? When you're swimming and you can't touch the ground. And then you think of, I'm up here and all this water's below.
Yeah.
Creepy to think about, huh?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I am a big lake guy over the ocean. Lakes are chill.
Lakes are more fun.
Because lakes, you don't have to worry about animals.
Yeah.
Something, so I don't know, I mean, man. Something about sharks that fucking creep me out too.
lake water's not always the cleanest, typically, like green.
No.
But what I do like is that it's always calmer, obviously, than the beach itself.
Yeah.
The ocean is different than the beach, but the beach is obviously waves, and it's loud, and it's like crashing all day long, which some people like. But I mean, even a little bit of a chop on a lake is much more relaxing than the beach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Lake Tahoe is fun, though, if you've never been. Because, like I said, they have good golf courses out there. They have Edgewood, which is, like, a super sick property. And then there's a few other, like, local golf courses that I'm sure are great, too. But yeah, you have that. You have the lake. So, that includes all of the fucking lake activities, whether that's inner tubing, wakeboarding, all that stuff. And then I'm sure there's mountain bike trails. And then there's, like, hiking trails. There's a lot of stuff to do out there. And because you share a border with Nevada, you have the casinos on the Nevada side.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that's a place you would love Tahoe.
I think I would.
It's a good spot. I do like that. It's very flexible. It's basically dope any time of year, and there's always stuff to do.
Yep, never been.
Yeah, and I got my big old Vietnam trip next week.
That's crazy, dude.
Vietnam.
Sheesh.
Going back to Nam. Vietnam.
That's crazy.
Nha Trang.
You gonna eat some crazy shit?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm gonna eat whatever Mia tells me to eat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not gonna be looking on no Yelp pages, monkey that's for brains. Sure.
That's where I found a lot of food was on the internet.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, I don't speak the fucking language, so I didn't exactly get recommendations either before I went.
Oh, yeah, there is a development. So Mia, bless her soul, I don't know if she mentioned this, but she's going to book a golf round for me.
Oh, nice. So, oh, in Vietnam?
Yeah, in Vietnam.
Oh, I wanted to play, dude.
Yeah, so we're going to play at this like resort that's like near where the wedding is at, mm-hmm. and I'm playing with like a couple of the guys there that I
know. You're going for a wedding?
I mean, we're going to spend some time with her family, but really like the main reason is because we're going to this wedding.
Okay.
It's like one of her best friends is getting married out there, so they did the tea ceremony here in California, and then they do a real wedding in Vietnam. So
that chicken looks good.
Thicken.
Looks juicy. fuck, I forgot what I was I don't remember if I asked this last week, but what's your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
Favorite Tom Cruise movie? Why can't I think of anything else other than Mission Impossible?
Not Top Gun?
Oh, no, it's for sure Top Gun. It's
your favorite movie?
It's Top Gun the remake.
Maverick. Yeah, I've heard it's good. I haven't seen it.
You've never seen that movie?
No.
Dude, it's so good.
No way it's my that God. Good.
No, it is. It is that good. I was a big fan. I liked it a lot. The intro, like the first like 10 minutes of the movie are like a solid first 10 minutes of any movie that you could watch today. I guarantee you that. And then the overall plot and like how they, you know, kind of brought in the storyline from the first movie was like really good too, like good throwback stuff, like, but like made it modern. It was awesome. It was great. You would love it.
Because honestly, I'm a hater, and I think the first one's corny as fuck.
Really?
I think it's corny, dude. The dialogue between Tom Cruise and Iceman, the whole fake tension, it's so like not believable. I don't know, it's very like, it's goofy. That's all I'm going to say.
Dude, I mean, you got to watch the remake, though. You got to.
But the point is, yeah, me and my dad were talking about, you know, he's a fucking mega ultra superstar, Tom Cruise.
He really is, but he's not that versatile, is he, though?
Like, he's the action, save the world, the government's out to get him or something like that, and he's got to do some crazy mission to save, you know?
Yeah.
100%. He's not going to be in the rom-com. Maybe he was.
And that guy, he never ages, too. Does he drink like children's blood or some shit?
No, he's
like
a Scientologist, so maybe he does drink
children's maybe blood. That's right, I forgot about that. He's a Scientologist, dude. I mean, what other movies is he in?
That's what I was gonna get to. So of the okay, we got The Last Samurai, never seen it. Minority Report, never seen it. Edge of Tomorrow, never seen it. Jerry Maguire.
I've heard of that movie.
Rain Man.
I've also heard of that movie. I've never seen it.
But the point is, I wanted to get to... I was going to share my favorite... Hold on one second. Okay, I'm looking at his filmography. Risky Business, The Outsiders, Cocktail. Are we sure we didn't talk about this?
No.
Okay. The Firm. I love The Firm. Have you seen it? It's a John Grisham book that they made into a movie. The Firm is... I won't spoil anything. The Firm is Tom Cruise is a hotshot law student, and he's like wrapping up. You know what I mean? Like passing it, about to, they're going to like sponsor. He's looking, he's being dated around by these law firms that are interested in like, hey, we want to bring you on, help you get your bar, and we want you to work at this law. He's like, you know, Harvard Law, hotshot. Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's going around between all these, like, you know, like New York City, giant law firms, and he eventually gets, he enjoys this one in Memphis. So it's weird. The whole movie takes place in Memphis, which you would not expect. But it takes place in Memphis. And so he, it's, they were a little more like family oriented, a little bit smaller town.
Uh-huh.
So he finds that appealing, but there are things behind the scenes that you don't realize.
Oh.
It's so good. Like, I recommend it for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. That sounds like that's right up my alley in terms of a movie I would like.
It's, things are not what they appear to be. And it has Gene Hackman, you know, from The Replacements.
Yep.
He's the main lawyer.
You really know how to get me to watch a movie. You just throw out the Gene Hackman.
Definitely recommend The Firm. 1991. Holy fuck.
91.
Oh, it was released in 93. The book was released in 91.
Oh, I see. I see.
God damn.
Oh, look at that. The,
obviously, Mission Impossible. Yeah, I said I can't. I don't know if I can do that weekend because it's my mom's birthday.
Mm.
So I said, you know, does anything else work?
I see. Yeah, no, now I'm in this. I think I gave him these two dates or these two weekends. So
4th, 7th, 25th, and 28th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I gave him these two dates based on my marathon prep because I have like in between those dates in September, I have like, I think it was like a 14 and an 18 mile run somewhere, or like I have long, like long ass runs, but I guess hypothetically I could shuffle things around.
My favorite movie of his is A Few Good Men. Have you seen that?
A Few Good Men's a classic. I love that movie. That's a good movie.
It's got law. I like law. It's got military.
Yeah.
Action. It's got scandals.
Yeah.
It's got Jack Nicholson.
It's got Tom Cruise. What do you mean? It's got Cuba Gooding Jr., dude.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't? I'm pretty sure Cuba Gooding Jr. is in that movie.
He is. He's Corporal Carl Edward Hammaker. Yeah.
Dude, how dare you do Cuba Gooding Jr. like that, dude?
Well, I'm sorry. It's got Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Kevin Bacon, Demi Moore, Kiefer Sutherland, star-studded, and CGJ. I love that movie, though.
Hell yeah.
When I think of Cuba Gooding Jr., I think of Radio, and I think of that one movie where he's with the ice dogs in Alaska or whatever the fuck that was.
I've never seen that movie. I'm so happy I've never seen that movie.
Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs.
There's these Snow Dogs. You haven't lived, my brother. We're watching that on the...
Oh, hell yeah.
Snow Dogs.
That's so funny.
Didn't he have kind of like some controversy?
Cuba Gooding Jr.? I wouldn't fucking know.
Snow Dogs. 2002. Absolute smash classic. It looks like it's a Disney movie. Freaking amazing. Cisco's in it. I don't know why. Let's see. Sexual misconduct allegations.
He's had a few allegations. He's had a few allegations. Snow Dogs. I haven't seen that movie.
Missing out, brother.
Brother.
What do I want to talk about? I had something good.
I'm going to make a comment in this group chat real quick.
Okay. You think you could live in a van? Like, you know the van life people? You know, convert a van and live in it?
I always have said yes to this question, but cool. then Mia always looks at, like, I brought this up with Mia, and she looks at me, she's like, your fucking bougie ass would yeah. never fucking do that.
You do it for like 2 days, and then you're like, all right.
I think it would be kind of dope. Like, I don't think it would suck that bad. Well, there's a few caveats, though. There's zero chance that I'm doing that with a dog. Zero chance I'm doing that with a dog. I don't want to do that with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Especially my precious puppy.
A lot of them do have dogs. A lot of those people.
I know they do. I know they do. But for me, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work with a dog. It just would not. I need like the freedom and flexibility to like... That's what's dope about it. When you're... It's like so flexible that you can do literally whatever you want. That's what's dope about it to me. I wouldn't want to like be like, oh, like, well, always conscious of like, you know, having to have some sort of routine because you have a dog. Like that wouldn't mm-hmm. work for me. But I think I could do it. I really do.
My question is how long?
Oh, how long?
Yeah. Like, could you do 2 weeks? That's fine. But could you do like 2 years?
I think I could do a year or two. I think I Damn. Wouldn't want to do more than 2 years is probably too much, but I honestly think I would be willing to do a year.
Okay.
I really do. Of course, like, I'm going to put my own bougie touch on it, so to speak. Like, yeah. I'm probably going to, like, have some sort of, like, luxury gym membership where I could, like, work out and take showers at.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, and I would have some home-ish base where it's like, oh, like, but then I would, like, you know, I probably would like travel around to like some destinations around the U.S. or places I want to see.
Oh, I think in my scenario, you don't have a home base.
Well, then
you don't have an apartment. This is it. This is where you live. How long could you do? Could you do a year?
I would do a year. I would commit.
Sheesh.
Dude, think of all the money you save, dude. You save so much money.
Yeah.
Because all that money that goes to rent, I mean, and if you live in Irvine, you're probably paying $3,000 a month. You save, that's $36,000 that I would save in rent easily. And then, yeah, like you probably have additional expenses because of not having rent, but it's still like, even if you saved like 2/3 of what your rent is per month, it's like mm-hmm. you probably save at least $24,000 a year, call it. An extra $24,000 a year, that's like, a lot. That's yeah. a lot, dude. That's a lot of money. Yeah, I mean, all of the there's like fucking YouTubers that like, they literally just do that and then they make income off their YouTube channel of them fucking doing van life shit. And then you're like, oh, now you're just rich and fucking in a fucking car. Then you're like, what? Like,
I mean, it does seem like a good way to travel like long term, obviously, you know.
I was reading about this guy who has gone viral for his whole shtick on YouTube is, I forget if it's YouTube or Instagram or both, but his whole goal is that he wanted to put a down payment on a house. I think he wanted to make like 80 or 100 grand. I forget what it was, but he could only earn in. I mean, all he does is DoorDash.
So for like
8-10 hours a day, he fucking DoorDashes, and then he just sleeps in his car or whatever. And Sheesh. Like he fucking that's all he does.
For how long?
And then every month he was breaking down his income. He's like, okay, like I spent this much on gas, I spent this much on food.
But how do you capitalize the depreciation and the wear and tear on your car, I guess?
Well, the objective is that he earns X amount of dollars so he can put a down payment on a home.
Sure,
right?
I get it.
So,
but you're trading the equity from your car partially.
Yeah, but who cares? It's always going to be a depreciating asset anyways, right? I mean, anyways.
Yeah, you're speeding up the... Sure, go ahead.
Anyways, But he would break down. The interesting part about it is that he breaks down like all of his income and costs and stuff like that. And he was making more money publishing the content on YouTube and Instagram than he was from doing like literally 8 to 10 hours a day of fucking just straight door dashing.
The irony is then he can't quit door dashing because he's got to make the content.
Yeah, but exactly.
You don't have to do it 10 hours a day.
Well, that's what's so funny about it. So then people are like following this guy's journey, and I don't know.
Granted, he's making both. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just because one makes more doesn't mean he can't do both.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually like a very somewhat similar situation. So my sister has a friend who is an influencer who I've met, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she specializes in, like, her content is surrounded by, like, beauty supplies, beauty routine, hair, mm-hmm. makeup, skincare, but mainly, like, skincare stuff.
Okay.
Right?
You're telling her about your cream?
No.
$1,000 fucking cream.
No, I didn't run it by her or anything like that. But anyways, so she's like a nurse or, like, something related to... She does like injections or something like that.
So she does Botox. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Botox or something like that. But because she's gotten so popular on whatever, so I think whether it's Instagram or something like that, and all of these brands, because she has this huge following, she gets all these offers to, hey, promote this product, earn X amount of dollars. Right. Mm-hmm. So she's doing really, really well with that. And she makes a lot of money doing it. And her husband's like, why do you even fucking do this? Like, why are you a nurse anymore? Like, you don't even need to fucking do that shit. But she does it because when she's in that industry, she's more aware of like the current trends and what's going on and medicines and like all of that. So she's like, I don't want to quit because it's like part of my identity with my page.
I get it.
So, but you're like, damn, you're doing like fucking twice the work now because then you got to fucking do your day job and then you got to fucking edit videos and publish content on your page and all that
stuff. That's a grind, dude. Filming and editing all that shit, that's a fucking grind.
Yeah. No, it really is, huh? I don't know how people, I really like, everyone thinks like being an influencer would be like the easiest job in the world. Dude, I think that's so fucking annoying. Like, the way I think, like how I would do it, or is like where you just totally outsource it. Like
that's what a lot of them do though. Is like they film obviously, but then all the edits are gone out.
Yeah,
because that takes up. You can spend like four six hours at the end of every day, fucking editing.
Yeah, no, it's too much. Well, because like this is what a lot of the Twitch people do. Like if you live stream on Twitch, then your editor has all of your content from Twitch, and then they chop it up and make videos.
Yeah,
and like that's, and then they get a cut of the YouTube page. So like that's for sure the route I would go, like, because there's no fucking way I'm spending that much time editing videos and shit like that. There's no fucking
way.
Not
if you're pumping out content. Like if you're posting one weekly video, that's a different story. If you're posting like 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week, I ain't got time for that. Anybody, you shouldn't be wasting your fucking time.
Yeah.
It's so much work.
Too much.
Do you remember Casey Neistat, the vlogger?
Casey Neistat doesn't ring a bell.
Dude, okay, for like years he uploaded a daily vlog. He's a filmmaker, like short film producer kind of guy,
uh-huh,
in New York City, and he would film a vlog every single day and edit it at the end of every day and upload it.
What?
For 2 years straight.
Okay.
And like the quality is fantastic. He's a filmmaker, so like artistically and visually it was amazing watching it live happen. This was maybe like 10 years ago or so, but just the grind. He was like, yeah, like wake up at like 6 a.m., go to bed at like maybe midnight, maybe.
Ugh.
And just think about filming all day and then getting home. And he's like, I get home and I edit. And then I watch one episode of something with my wife and I go to sleep and then back to the grind. Just a grinder.
Grinder, man.
For like 2 years, he didn't miss an upload.
That's crazy. That's many uploads. He probably got nasty at editing and stuff like that.
He also became enormously popular.
Oh my goodness.
The vlog, it was so good. I miss those days.
Just like, it was just like day in the life stuff?
Yeah, he is like, he's been making films, and so he has a ton of friends in New York City that he would go see that to work on other projects, and like, his main thing was he'd ride a skateboard, an electric skateboard, he'd ride around New York City, get all these cool shots of him riding around. His wife was working in like jewelry industry, I don't know, he just, and then he'd have people come by like, it was very like active.
Yeah.
And he was also a runner. I think he was like a marathon runner.
Oh, look at
and
that.
And so he would also run. So just dude was on his fucking grind. Not fucking nuts, bro.
That's a
legendary run though, for sure.
That is a lot. Ooh, you get the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it, like how much work that is. That's so much stuff. Yeah.
I think though when you and no, but in another 10 years you're going to look back and be like, that was worth it. Like,
yeah.
The piece, the product that was created, it came at a cost, certainly, of his sleep, sanity, relationship with his family and whatnot, but you got to weigh that against the output, the outcome, I guess.
I mean, and then if you have that many subscribers and like that many views, dude, you're just like a you just like got a fucking money printer for the foreseeable future. Like, I don't know.
Each one was getting over a mil a day.
Yeah, views. That's so many views.
Daily? That's at least 365 million views a day. How crazy is that?
I mean, you're probably pulling at least five figures every month, like just so from...
It's 10 years ago. Look at all the views he was getting.
Oh my God.
So 490
days. Every video is like almost 1 million or plus.
A bunch of them are like three or four. How crazy is that? Just fascinating guy.
Just me talking.
Yeah, I mean, not all of them were home runs. Sometimes just a base hit. You know what
Vlog.
I mean?
Vlog.
490?
53 million views, 490 videos. My first vlog. 5.5 million views.
Dude's a legend.
Good for him, man.
Fucking grinder.
Yeah, Mia recently was helping out this guy on a Zoom call who was... He was a YouTuber and he made like travel content. And the guy's YouTube channel, I think it had like 1.3 million subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, damn, dude. Just.
Okay. Would you rather be a YouTuber, Twitch streamer, or like Instagram, TikTok person?
Am I editing in this scenario?
Depends on how big you get. You can outsource it. Because I think being a live streamer looks like fun, to be honest. Like, the fact that you can just like stream it and then you just log off for the day, you know what I mean? And then your crew edits
when you
in the background.
When you say live stream, are you talking about like having somebody? Okay, I see what you're saying.
Your main like source of things is Twitch streamers, but then you have editors chop up funny clips and post them on Instagram and TikTok, and that seems like the most fun.
I would say probably YouTuber, and I'll tell you why. Because the problem with being a live streamer is that
the N-word.
No, not that.
That's part of it.
It certainly crossed my mind. But
the slurs that you can't say.
No, the only issue is that you're pretty much chained to that chair for like 8 hours a day, like 6 days a week. And that's...
Assuming you're a gamer. There are live streamers that move around.
Yeah, but that's not really... That's honestly, it's a different category. It's not...
If you know this, bro, most people do spend 8 hours a day in one spot.
Yeah.
The majority of the world
spends
8 hours.
I'm not saying I do anything that much different. Like, here,
imagine if you're getting paid.
But like, if I had the option of like being outside, like, I think it would be healthier to like be outside.
Sure.
Or like, because like in my dream world, my sicko ass would be like golf content. That's what I would do.
Bob Does Sports looks like the funnest.
I would be Bob Does Sports.
The traveling, dicking around, playing golf with his buddies. I don't know how they don't get sick of each other, if I'm being honest. I think I'd strangle you guys after hanging out that much.
Well, I think what they do is they just do content trips and they do it like once every other month. And then they probably do it once every other month.
What's the rest of the time? What are they doing?
Well, they're probably doing collabs, which maybe that's like once a month or once every other month. And then they're promoting their brands. Like, and what I mean by that is they're doing the events associated with that, whether that's the Breezy Invitationals or like meet and greets at the liquor stores, because they're promoting their drink.
They're all together. They're spending a lot of time together.
Yeah, they are. They are spending a lot of time together. That is true.
But being Bob, that looks fun.
Well, Bob is a total sicko. When he talks about his screen time,
it's like 18 hours or something.
It's disgusting. It was like 13 hours a day.
He's also on his Cameo grind, right? Dude is a fucking...
He's always like top three on the Cameo leaderboards. What a legend, huh?
Bro, I respect the shit out of that grind.
And how is he always funny all the time?
I haven't seen his cameos, but... He's great.
Yeah, no, he's a character, man. But yeah, I'd be Bob to sports because, like, they find ways to make it fun. They either, like, do serious golf videos or they do, like, drinking challenge. Like, they always do something fun. Sometimes they do things team-related or individually. Like, I like the way that their content is structured.
Hear me out. Plus, then you can sell cool golf merch and alcohol.
Yeah.
Also, great idea doing both of those things.
Yep.
Because a lot of people drink when they play golf. It's like,
yeah,
you're crossing into a huge market there.
There's also no pressure for them to be like anything than who they are right now. Like,
yeah, that's,
why they're popular, is because who they are. Like, they don't need to, like, they don't have expectations of being like really good golfers or like,
no, it's better if they're not. Yeah. FP's good, but he's different. I don't know. That's his character, is like the kind of like quieter
the
guy,
one
who's
that's
funny.
Like slightly better at golf, yeah, than the rest of them.
Joey's rage is great.
Yeah,
Bob's inconsistency is very funny.
Well, I think what makes Bob so funny these days is just like what a total head case he is on, yeah, on the golf course. Like, sure. He's always like thinking way too much and just like so worried about the results of every golf shot. It's
but he knows he does it, and he's disappointed in himself that he does it. I think he's aware that he's doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, he'll even talk to Jen and be like, "Dude, I'm in my head." But even being like Tick or Benjamin looks like fun too. But
I think that's also the other good thing that they did was that, I think I've heard him talk about this before in other like YouTube skits where he was like, I never understood why people like didn't talk to the cameraman or the producers, and like how he brought them in and made them characters.
Their characters.
And how that is like a positive thing for the channel, rather than just like having them be like, hey,
no-namer,
like, don't fucking say anything, don't do anything other than film. Like, no, like I love how they're involved and how they have their own personalities, and they like, because dude, they make it more
Tick
fun.
Is fucking hilarious, dude.
did you see the Utah episode?
I don't recall.
Well, I know you guys haven't watched Bob to Sports as much recently, but they I don't know if you remember, but Kelby actually told us to go play this course. It's called Black Desert. It's in
St. George?
St. George. Yeah, it's in the St. George area. Mm-hmm. But it's a new resort golf course that they now play a PGA Tour event at. And they had Bob DeSports and, you know, a few of the other content creators like Grant and the Brian brothers. They were out there doing content. And the Bob DeSports video was so funny. And there's... I mean, if you're going to watch it, I won't spoil it, but essentially, like, there was, like, a really funny moment between Joey and Ticket that was, like, unmatched.
Oh, I saw the clip. I saw the clip.
Yeah.
Where he calls him out during a shot or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and the was great.
And the context behind it all was so funny because, yeah, like, Joey fucking...
He's always got some shit.
Well, he cursed that Ticket. He's like, will you shut up and just fucking film? And then everyone was like, whoa, dude, yeah. Like, whoa. Like, and then Ticket was like, oh, yeah, okay, like, yeah, cool, like, whatever. And then that led to the moment where he talked in his backswing. Like, that was, and it was...
Nice shot, dude, or whatever. That was fucking great.
Yeah, yeah, he just goes, sweet shot.
Yeah.
And then just fucking slice McGillicuddy.
That's a juicy revenge right there. That's fantastic. Yeah. And hopefully Joey's like... realizes it needs to get off his fucking
back
down to earth,
exactly,
idiot.
What happened immediately after that was Joey just walked directly to the cart, didn't say a word, and just sat down. He's like yeah, like I kind of had a comment, I'm just not gonna say anything anymore, like,
yeah.
But they're fucking crying.
Okay, hear me out. Are there golf live streamers?
Golf live
stream? What if we cross that over? Like, I think live streaming is fun because I don't know, I like how unscripted it is, partially.
Yeah.
And also, like, golf is like 5 hours, you know, it could be interesting.
Well,
what if that's an untapped
market? have you watched a golf broadcast before?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's golf live streaming.
But what if you're right behind Bob does sports the whole time, like watching them play and dick around?
Good has done it before, and I don't think that they had a lot of success with it.
Maybe they're doing it wrong. I'm just saying, it's an idea.
Well, like, they kind of touched on it in like podcasts or just like other like discussions on YouTube before, where it's very, very challenging because the equipment you need to do live streaming is like, there's another variable of like, oh, like, because every golf cart needs the cart cam, and then there's the audio and all of this stuff and the footage. It's it's a lot harder on a production standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is why you see like these national broadcasts, like they're, it's a huge operation. It's they need so many cameras. So, like,
but they're not just following one golfer though, that part, or one hole.
Well, yeah.
They're following 18 holes and following 100 golfers.
I guess like the juice wasn't essentially worth the squeeze, but they've definitely done some like live stream. Good for sure has done live stream stuff. But what they ended up doing, and I'm sure you've seen, is like they basically partnered with like NBC and they've done like collabs where they do like the desert shootout where it's like competitive two-man scrambles on an 18-hole par three course or whatever. It's not all par threes, but there's like a few par fours, but where they do like the first hour or two on the good YouTube channel.
Okay.
And it has NBC production quality. And then for the last like half of the broadcast, they do it on Peacock or like their paid streaming service. And like that's how they kind of decided to go into like the live stream stuff.
You mean that's the deal that they signed? Because the whole point of that is to try and get...
Well, again, because
you're trying to get people to one market from another market.
The reason why I bring it up is because they clearly realized that it wasn't feasible to do it themselves. They didn't have the manpower, the equipment, and all of the things that you need to make a successful live stream. And partnering with somebody like NBC who has that manpower and production quality
and money,
they were able to create good enough content to where it made sense. So like, okay, like, well, we can share the rights, or you know,
I'm just saying, don't pull yourself out of it before you even try it or like think of a plan.
Yeah,
don't be the guy who was like, you can't go to the moon, you can never go to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, there's plenty of people that do daily golf vlogs, like whether it's scoring objectives or whatever. I mean, I think it would be pretty cool. I certainly wouldn't want to be the one like setting up the camera before every shot. Like that seems kind of annoying, but like if you had somebody filming you, I mean, think that would be,
you have somebody filming and you're mic'd up.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it.
All right, if you guys enjoyed this episode of the Bump and Run Boys podcast, leave a like, let us know that you enjoyed this episode. This is Blake Ross
and Goose.
All right, see you next week. Burr.